We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
iHeartRadio, now number one for podcasting, presents Sunday Night Podcast. Every Sunday, we play one of the most played and most listened to and most shared podcasts of the week from the 250,000 podcasts available in the free iHeartRadio app. Find your next favorite podcast on iHeartRadio. This week, it's The Breakfast Club 30.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Never so met weird. Her before.
She's an actress. She's an author. She's a mom. Ladies and gentlemen,
she's
Gia.
A wife.
And my wife. Yes, Gia.
Hello.
Welcome.
Gia what? That's just one
Thank
name?
You.
She's like Madonna, Beyonce?
She's like
just
Madonna,
one name?
Beyonce,
okay,
Gia.
Okay, 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 okay. How nervous are you, sir? Seriously.
I know. He's been acting real weird all morning.
I'm fine.
Well, you know
you
what?
Nervous, though?
No.
You guys have a book out, Real Life, Real Love, Life Lessons on Joy, Pain, and the Magic That Holds Us Together. And I've been dying to ask you this question, Gia, in person.
Oh, boy.
In
here
this
we go.
Room. How do you feel about Charlamagne and Envy flirting with each other every day?
It kind of turns me on.
What? We didn't expect that answer.
Now I'm nervous. What the hell?
I had that effect on people.
Okay.
Explain.
No, I mean, I think it's a little strange. But I'm amused by it.
It's just brotherly love.
Yes,
that's all.
I'm amused by it.
Does
that's
anything
all.
Go too far ever? Or?
No, it's all in good fun and entertainment.
That's all it is.
I don't mind it.
So you didn't mind it when he gave me the ass?
First of all, context, please.
Or
context.
Actually.
God, I didn't know
everybody
that.
Doesn't watch the show every day. Context, please. Okay?
Wait, can you guys soundbite that?
When he gave me a mold of his ass.
That's right. And it wasn't my ass. It was a mold of a ass. Yes.
I thought it was a mold of your actual
ass. No, my ain't that fat.
No. And then what about when they touch each other and stuff?
That's never happened.
Then we don't touch each other. Stop it.
I've never seen them touch each other.
That hasn't happened.
No.
You want to tell me something I need to know?
Well, no, they like rub up, brush against each other if they're walking out the door.
That's not true.
They
go in. You threaten to rub up against each other. We don't ever do it.
They go in the revolving door together.
That happened one time by accident.
Explain that. Now I need answers.
It was stupid. I don't even know how that happened. It was really stupid. It was really dumb.
That had to be very intentional.
No, it wasn't. I don't even know how it happened.
One is in.
We was in
and then one makes his way in.
The revolving door together walking around. It was so stupid and dumb.
You don't just fall.
All we did was giggle because it was so stupid. We just had to giggle our way through it.
But you just added insult to injury. You're sitting there in the one slot giggling together.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, whatever.
Anyway, back to the matter at hand.
I don't lie.
Real life, real love. Mm-hmm. What is that magic that holds y'all together, you think? How would you describe it?
You know, whenever I find that people come to our house or are around us, I think they're kind of surprised at how much fun we have together. I find him to be very charming and charismatic. And one of the things that I love most about him is his boyish nature. Mm. So we really have a lot of fun together, and we always have since we first met. The first week we spent together, I thought to myself, wow, he's a lot of fun. He's like a friend, you know, and that's part of the magic.
You knew that this was the person you were going to spend the rest of your life with?
After about 2 weeks of knowing him, yes.
Wow. But he knew before y'all even spent a day together.
I did.
Explain. Before we even spent a day together?
Well, when I first seen you, I wrote in the book that I thought you were beautiful and amazing. And the first time I saw you, you were actually running track. And for people that don't know, you know, track, she used
explain
to
win. Track.
That was a good one. I like that.
It was a skimpy outfit, and you know, Gia had big double D's, and I would stalk her outside and just watch her run track and watch her breast bottle.
I don't like that word. Don't say stalk. He wasn't stalking.
Yeah, but that's actually what he was doing.
A young man.
It was actually stalking, and I would see him. I would see him sitting with his friends in this bright blue Con Edison van. Because that's what his parents bought him to transfer his DJ equipment from Sweet 16 to Sweet 16. Because that's what he was DJing at the time.
I just had a Con Edison van. It was cheap back then.
And I would see it parked behind the fence. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, why is this van there every day at track practice?
Right. It's the power out every day.
Van? Yo, that is crazy.
Yes. It was bright blue. He wasn't low. He was not low.
And he was just sitting in the van doing
And then one
what.
Day he emerged. Actually, babe, do you remember one day like he emerged from the van and approached me and kicked it? And I was like, oh, so you're that weirdo.
That's in the van.
But y'all were both kids.
Yes.
She was 15, I was 16. We went to the same high school. So,
So Envy, you say that you knew that she was going to be your wife like right away. You think it was before y'all even spoke?
No,
when you were
spoke,
just stalking her?
We actually when we actually spoke and you know, I found out how beautiful she was inside and outside and how smart she was and caring. And she was just that. She was the one. She was the most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life and the most precious thing. So I was like, this is going to be my wife.
I want people to get the book, but I do want, to explain. How do you keep reinventing the relationship when you start that young? Now Envy's 50 something, you're much, much younger. But how do you keep
50,
how do you reinvent? How do you keep reinventing and
I think that that's part of the magic. We don't have to try. We don't intentionally, we do a lot of things intentionally and deliberately, but we don't intentionally reimagine the relationship and act on that. The only thing that I would say that we're good about is keeping it sexy and making sure that that part of our relationship doesn't get too monotonous and doesn't get stale. So we have a lot of fun in that space, but we don't have to think like, God, how am I gonna stop being bored of you? Or how am I going to get to a point where you don't annoy me anymore? He legitimately does not annoy me. I look forward to his phone calls every day. And we probably speak on the phone about maybe 8 or 9, 10 times a day because he's away a lot, you know? So he calls me on his way to the Breakfast Club. He calls me on his way home from the Breakfast Club. He calls me if something happens. He calls me incessantly. And I'm never like, oh, you again. I'm like, oh, him again. You know, it's just that feeling that I've always had that no matter what ups or downs we were going through, that never left me.
Now, he told us a story about the cowboy outfit that he wears.
He told you about that?
Yeah.
Wait. the cowboy outfit in college?
With the assless chaps.
No assless chaps.
They were.
Yeah, you told us about
that. Hold on, wait, Rashawn, did you actually tell them about that? Like on air or in private?
I forgot I told y'all about that.
He did.
Because if it was in private, this is a whole double cross.
Yeah,
right
he
now.
Told us he dressed up as a cowboy and he had the...
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I remember that day.
Okay.
Because I remember that day because after he told the story, he goes...
Yeah, he did.
And I was like, what?
He did.
When we were in college, yeah, we went through a stage where we were doing like a lot of
role playing. Yeah.
And one night I dared him to be a cowboy. So we went and got the cowboy outfit. Wow. He had like the big brown hat, and then he had like the little holsters and everything. Mm-hmm. And babe, do you remember I took pictures?
Are those? Are they in the book?
He about maybe 3 years after he made me physically burn them on the grill.
Wow.
He put them on the grill and told me I had to light it. Yeah, they don't exist
anymore. Don't you wish you still had that?
No.
But y'all talk about role play in the book. You say he likes to put on the Roc Nation paper playing hat. And no, he goes, what's my name? And he wants you to say Jigga?
I didn't contribute to that chapter.
Okay.
No, that wasn't my work. No, I didn't do that.
No. Okay.
So wait, so he wasn't lying. They were assless chaps.
Yeah, he had it was a whole thing.
I just pulled a U on you, Gia. He did not tell us that.
Damn it, Tehelsey! Get my book and you will learn a slew of tactics,
women
tricks,
are
and
so
techniques
good at that. We
on how to get
something.
What you want out of life. Okay.
It was a holster, by the way. They were holsters.
Yeah, it was a holster.
What were some other dress-up things you guys
All right.
did?
It was more so me
okay.
dressing up, and he was just like the recipient of that. That was a one little, and that's why it was a dare, because it was kind of supposed to be a joke, but he never really dressed up.
Did
one
really
time I was a nurse
pictures?
And he was a doctor.
Okay.
That was once.
Huh?
Did you really burn the pictures?
I really did.
Really?
In front of him.
Wow.
You didn't have copies.
I'd have kept those just in case.
I would have.
Put those in the safe.
I have the negatives. See,
okay,
I wasn't going to share
okay.
that.
Oh,
but in case anything okay. ever goes left in our relationship, I have that. I will ruin his entire reputation.
Or my question.
I'll never be able to work again.
And might cross him over to a new audience.
Goodness gracious.
The free iHeartRadio app has over 250,000 podcasts to explore.
Yes.
This
yes,
is the Breakfast yes, Club yes, 30, yes, yes. part of Sunday Night Podcast on iHeartRadio.
We got a special guest still in the building, my wife, Gia Casey. We're talking about our new book, Real Life, Real Love, Life Lessons on Joy, Pain, and the Magic That Holds Us Together. You could pick it up today, or you can get it on Audible, on Kindle, or wherever you get your books. Yee.
How was it for both of you writing this book together?
Some of it was fun. It was nice to be creative and get your thoughts down on paper. It was work,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very open person. Rashawn, I think, had a difficult time because he had to relive a lot of the negative things that transpired in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And he can tend to be surface in some respects, where you ask him a question, he gives you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot more of an in-depth person. You know, I think critically about things. And when we would go over these chapters that he's assigned to write, I would ask him questions like, okay, you can't just answer it with a yes or a no or a simple blanket. Like, one question would mean 10 more questions to really mm-hmm. get to the meat. And, you know, I had to keep reiterating, we're writing this book so that people have something tangible, a reference point for them to make changes in their lives if necessary, or to recognize that the person that you're with needs to make changes in their lives. And it was a journey.
Mm-hmm.
It was a journey, but I think it was difficult.
Yeah, no, for me
you.
It was difficult. I had to relive a lot of the F-boy-ish I put you through. And you forget about a lot of it because you don't have to relive it. But then when you start reliving,
no, you forget about a lot.
You ain't forget.
I ain't forget nothing.
Well, I think as men, that's the point though, right? Because it's like, we don't realize how much we do hurt our women when we
is
do
that
those
true
things.
Though
yeah I think so I don't think we realize how deep
that sounds like goes. An okie doke to me
I don't think we until you actually sit down and have those you know uncomfortable conversations you don't realize how much you affected
if your wife cheated on you and told you that she would have no idea how much that it stood to hurt you would that make sense to you
probably not but I mean men don't make sense.
You believe that. You believe that you're born inherently with like a deficit.
Not a deficit, but I just don't
of
think
common sense.
I don't think we're thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like that's the sad part.
It's selfish.
And that's what keeps you from doing it in the future. You know what I mean? Because you do not want to hurt the woman that you love. And it's so crazy because I saw that with my pops. Like I saw the pain that caused my mom with his infidelity. So in my mind, I was like, damn, I'm about to make the same mistake. Mm-hmm. So I think it is difficult when you got to relive it because you don't want to talk about it because we don't want to trigger you.
You know, some people feel...
I don't get triggered, though.
Damn.
What?
Right. No, that scared me just now. I was about to call security.
No, once I got to a point, and it was a process. Once I got to a point where I accepted that it was my job to move on because I decided to forgive him. And because he had done all of the work and then some to regain my trust, to earn grace from me. I got to a point where I no longer wanted to punish, and I didn't have that inherent need to see him suffer. Mm-hmm. Because when you hurt, and you say it all the time, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you're hurt, you want not just people, you want the person that hurt you to hurt. Mm-hmm. And anytime that I felt any type of way, I made sure that he felt some type of way. So once I learned how to forgive, and that was a process because I wasn't necessarily a forgiving person mm-hmm. before, everything was very black and white to me, not very much gray. But once I learned and I understood that that's what was expected from me of God, I had to commit to that mm-hmm. and do my best to live up to what forgiveness meant. And that's what set me free. Because when you forgive, you don't forgive to ease the burden from the other person. You forgive to ease the burden from you.
That's real.
What was the work you guys did together? Like, you had to work on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And when you said, okay, I'm gonna, you know, have to move on from this. But what was the work that he did that let you know, okay, he's serious and, you know, I can finally just say, I'm not getting triggered anymore. I'm gonna let this go.
One of the first things was I realized that he understood the impact of what had happened, what he did. He understood it. Mm-hmm. He didn't just accept it and was accountable for it, but he actually understood. He would do things that a lot of men wouldn't do. He would sit there through those 8-hour conversations mm-hmm. locked in a room. He answered every question that I had, and I had a lot of questions. And he answered them all truthfully. And, you know, when you ask somebody a question and you can tell by their answer because, I mean, the answers weren't pretty. Right. They weren't things that I would have wanted to hear. He went through all of the sufferation, as I call it, and he did it until. Because a lot of guys, when they mess up, and I mean, a lot of them have told me, I have friends and that have gone through it. It's like, listen, I did it. I apologize. I said I was never going to do it again. I mean that ish,
right?
But it's like every day I'm being punished. I'm being punished. I'm being reminded. It's like, let it go. I apologize. Like, what more do you want from me? Blood? He never took that approach with me. Mm-hmm. It was the until you are good, until you are healed. If I have to be a punching bag, I will be that. If I have to be a doormat, I will be that. I will do anything that it makes to survive this because I cannot be without you. And wow. He proved it every single day. It was as though, and he was like this before, but it was even more so during this time. It was as though he communicated to me that the only thing that he wanted was to make me happy. And that's pretty much how he lives his life. He lives his life every day, waking up thinking like, damn, how can I make Gia's life easier today? Mm-hmm. How can I make Gia happier today? But to answer your question, it was the until, it was the indefinite, mm-hmm. and it was the willingness to do any and everything to earn what he lost back.
And was there ever a question in your mind? I know there was a point when you thought, no matter what I do, she's never gonna take me back. Was there ever a time when you were like,
if you cry, I'm gonna come over there and hug you. I'm just letting you know. You better hold them tears. I'm gonna hug the shit out of you from the back if you cry in front of your wife.
And then flex your pelvis.
But yes, to answer your question, yes.
Catch that little feel.
At that point, I didn't know what was gonna happen, but mm-hmm. I was like, I have to be honest to at least get my friend back. You know,
right.
And at that point, I didn't know what Gia was going to do. I thought it was a wrap, but I was like, I still wanted my friend. I still wanted somebody I can talk to. You know, I still wanted a relationship with her that we can bounce. Like, this, she's all I knew since I was 16. So right. I still wanted my friend back.
And she's Jamaican. That could have been forever beef.
That could have been forever.
But, you know, it's interesting that you didn't kick him out of the house. You were still polite to him. You still wanted to maintain a co-parenting friendship. I feel like that hurts more when you're like, we're not having sex. And I might end up with somebody else one day, but, you know, we're cool. That hurts more, I think, sometimes than just completely, like, being nasty to somebody and cutting them off.
Yes. Well, when I found out divorce was imminent, it was never a question. I was raised by a very strong mother who taught me that if a man ever disrespects you to that degree, then you walk. So it didn't matter how much I loved Rashawn and how much I would have missed him. And it didn't matter if I cried every night. It did not matter one iota how I felt. The only thing that was important to me was that I operated with my head and not my heart, and that I did what I always said that I was going to do. So when I found out, when it was confirmed for me, and you can read the book and see the entire...
No, we want you to go get the
book. The entire story. Yeah. But when he confirmed it, we were in a parking lot. And when I drove away from that parking lot, it was a few days before Christmas, and his mother was at the house helping me decorate because we were hosting that year. But I walked into the house and I told her, I said, Christmas is canceled. And she said, what do you mean Christmas is canceled? And I said, well, I just found out that Rashawn cheated on me and we're getting a divorce. So there's not going to be any Christmas this year. At least I'm not hosting.
Yo, it's wild that people actually cancel Christmas. I thought that was just a figure of speech.
No.
Christmas
is canceled.
If this happened, we canceling Christmas.
I canceled Christmas.
You canceled Christmas?
Yeah.
Cancel Christmas.
Well, in the sense of us hosting, I wasn't going to cancel it for our children, but, you know, we didn't have to decorate for 30 people to come over. And my lovely mother-in-law, hi, Mama. She defended her beautiful son with everything that she could because...
Them bitches lying.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And when she said something to that effect, I said, but for the fact that he just told me that it was true. And he came home maybe 20 or 30 minutes later, and it was a whole thing, right? But I was adamant that we were getting a divorce. I contacted an attorney, paid an attorney. It was... decided. But thankfully, there were a whole host of things that happened that that convinced me that God had other plans.
iHeartRadio. For podcast discovery, this is the Breakfast Club 30.
Here we go.
Your chance to hear the biggest trending podcast each week from the free iHeartRadio app.
We're here talking about our new book, Real Life, Real Love. Charlamagne?
What did God say to you?
You know, I wasn't raised with this deeply instilled faith where I felt as though I knew God. And I lived differently because I didn't know God in that way. So when God revealed himself to me, and he may have tried for years, you see, but I didn't speak his language. I would have never been able to interpret God trying to reach out to me. So I really believe that this happened so that me particularly, not even Rashawn, so that I could be humbled. When God spoke, he spoke through other people. And when I found out what happened, it's funny, we were being approached for reality shows at the time. And when he took someone's terrible advice to apologize to me on the radio. and make our personal woes private. Our personal woes public.
I didn't know though. I didn't know what he was going through. He'd be in here laying on the floor.
Because you guys would.
I didn't know what he'd be like out of it. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is your problem? I didn't know what it was. So as I'm prodding him, like, what the hell is going on? I didn't know that was coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So when he apologized, you didn't know what he was apologizing for.
He would literally come in here and be like laid out on the floor in the fetal position the whole show. Like, he would not be here with us. He wouldn't be present.
And I just knew something was wrong. You
should call him on the air and apologize. So no, I was like, when he gets on the air, I'm going to ask him on the air, what the fuck is his problem? Because I was tired of asking him behind the scenes. And so I asked him on the air. I didn't know that was coming, though.
A terrible idea, but maybe it was the same dose of common sense that you guys are talking about.
Right.
Men
God thinks
seem to be born with.
Men think differently. Like, that's a grand gesture or something.
Yes, but when it was made public, my one of my best friends, his name is Rashid. He's the husband of my other best friend. Her name is Sasha. He called to see if what he had heard was true because he thought that maybe it was just something being drummed up because we're supposed to be on a reality show or something like that. And when he called, I said, no, everything that you heard is absolutely true. It's a terrible story. As you said, you know, Rashawn was circling the drain at that time. And Rashid decided to come to New York from California because he lives in LA. But we had a horrible event happen. At our home, and you can read about it in the book.
Mm-hmm. Mind you, Rashid didn't like me. Rashid, you know, he always thought our relationship was toxic, which
you were
was,
too controlling.
He thought I was too controlling, which I was at times. But so he didn't like me. So the fact that he flew in to try to save this relationship meant a lot because he already didn't like me.
I thought you said Tyrese saved the relationship.
That too. Well, that's coming. Tyrese, that was see, the sign.
We're telling too much.
But yeah. Well, what happened was mm-hmm. he flew in. And I didn't want him there because our marriage was ending and I just wanted to be by myself. But he insisted. He said, I'm flying into Newark International Airport at such and such a time. Come get me. I went and I got him. And that was the start of the biggest change that we needed to go through. He came to our house and I said, why are you here? And he said, God sent me here. Mm. I said, of all people, you? You're the only person in our lives that didn't champion our marriage. You're the only one that ever told me that maybe he's not the right person for me. Why you? He said, Gia, I don't know. I've been praying since I got off the phone with you after that terrible thing happened. And I walked into my boss's office, told him I had to take a leave of absence, went home, packed a bag, and got on a plane and headed here. And it's only through the assignment of God. God spoke to me. Mm. I said, so what does that mean? Like, are you hearing voices? Like, what do you mean God spoke to you? And he said to me, when God speaks to you, it's as though he puts an overwhelming feeling on your heart. And when he tells you to do something, you don't ask any questions. You just do it. And I said, okay, well, basically, I'm going to have to wrap my mind around that because I didn't have the tools to really understand mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And he stayed with us for about maybe 10, 12 days. And he taught us a lot about God and faith and spirituality and what his assignment was. And he brought in his pastor. Her name was Sister Nancy. She had the same feedback from God when she prayed. And this was all new to me. And I was actually very angry because now I have people in my life that I respect and love that are telling me that I have to stay in a relationship that I'm adamant on getting out of. Mm. And it was very, very heavy. I can't describe to you how heavy it was and how insistent he was in his assurance of what God communicated to him.
And to fast forward, Tyrese, same thing. I didn't know, you know, we knew Tyrese for coming up here doing interviews, but I didn't know Tyrese. I didn't have his number. He didn't have a new song. But when he heard me on the radio that day, he called and wanted to speak to Gia. And you can read it in the book because he got us together. But he said the exact same thing, like Tyrese and Rashid was speaking to each other. And it was kind of like those two were the ones to really save my marriage.
And they didn't know each other. And Gia, you had asked for a sign.
Well, that was the thing. Right. Because I was so angered by what I was hearing. Like, oh, I was a victim being cheated on. Now I'm being victimized again by God telling me that I have to stay in a relationship that I'm adamant about leaving. I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big crier, but one day I was taking a shower and I began to cry and I began to pray in the way that I was learning how to pray. And I asked God for a sign that I can interpret for myself. So at least it would feel as though I was making my own decision and a decision wasn't being made for me. So I damn near begged for a sign. And then shortly after, Tyrese called Rashawn and asked for him to set something up. And we went to Philippe Chow's. He came in with a backup singer and a guitarist. He performed Stay just for Rashawn and I. Then he sat down for about 4 hours and we had a conversation. And he tried to explain to me how a man can love you and still cheat at the same time, because I didn't really understand that. But at the end of the conversation, I asked him, I said, you know, why are you here? You don't even know if I'm a good person. You don't know if this relationship is even worth salvaging. Why would you do that? You didn't know Rashawn. You have no dog in this fight. You have nothing to gain or lose. You're supposed to be at a wedding somewhere else. You changed your flights to be here. Mm-hmm. Why? He said, God sent me here to do this.
Damn.
I said, what do you mean God sent you here to do this? He said, God sent me. I said, are you hearing voices? He said, no. And then he reiterated verbatim exactly what Rashid said to me in my kitchen that day. And I had to ask Rashid, Tyrese, I said, is that like in the Bible? Is that what you just said? Is that like a thing that people know? And he said, no. Mm. I'm just telling you how I feel. Like, what do you mean? And at that moment, I just like threw my hands up and I said, okay. And I looked at Rashawn and I said, I forgive you. I don't know what that means. I will work on this with you. I don't know how long that will take. I will do what I'm now believing is required of me. But
we're going to be in for a ride because I'm not really there, but I can commit to you in this moment because there is not that much coincidence in the world for what just happened.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
You, I'm God. Sorry, Gia. I'm sorry to my wife, too. I just feel like apologizing. This is just a triggering conversation. I just feel like apologizing. I'm sorry to all women who've been cheated.
All right, we got more with my wife, Gia Casey. When we come back, we're talking our new book that's out right now, Real Life, Real Love. So don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The free iHeartRadio app has over 250,000 podcasts to explore.
Yes.
This
yes,
is The Breakfast yes, Club yes, 30, yes. Part of Sunday Night Podcast on iHeartRadio.
We got a special guest still in the building, my wife, Gia Casey. We're talking about our new book, Real Life, Real Love, Life Lessons on Joy, Pain, and the Magic That Holds Us Together. You could pick it up today, or you can get it on Audible or on Kindle or wherever you get your books. Yee.
A lot of gems in this book, all you right. guys. I was thoroughly entertaining. Like I said,
you look stressed.
He does.
I feel like he's
been nervous all morning before you got here.
It's a triggering conversation.
The book is out today.
Go get it, man.
Make sure you pick it up. Real Life, Real Love. Get it today.
Life Lessons on Joy, Pain, and the Magic That Holds Us Together.
That's right. Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, wherever you buy books, your local bookstores, please pick it up today. And when you do read it, or you read it, please, what we want you to do is we want you to tell us what you think about the book. Whether it's a 30-second video, tag it and I, we want to repost it. Whether you love it, whether you hate it, we're going to repost all of them because we love to get you guys this feedback.
Yeah, and I think that y'all going to help a lot of couples. And it's clear that y'all, too, are meant to be with each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
One of my favorite chapters is called The New Deal, and it's pretty much about reparations that the offender has to make after offending their partner. Mm-hmm. And it's those things that will help to signal to your partner that you just may be worthy of forgiveness and being extended grace.
So what are those reparations? The first thing people are going to say is, oh, that's why he does the 12 days of Christmas.
You know, that's right. A lot of people do say that.
We did that before.
What's funny? Yeah. And that's the funny thing. We've always done 12 days of Christmas. Mm-hmm. We just never made it public. And it's not the type of thing that at first I ever wanted to make public because it is grand. But I decided to start posting it because it's not about the material items that he gives me for Christmas. It's about the intention behind it. It's about the thought. You know, he starts shopping almost a year in advance for that. And every gift comes with something special, a little note, a little treasure hunt to find the gift, a prayer, a poem, something that is giving of his heart, not giving of his pocket.
And that's why when you read the book and you hear y'all talk, that's why you understand why he got so upset at Desus and Mero.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all relationship is so much deeper than that.
Of course. You know, because with their comment, it almost to me suggests as though there's nothing else worthy about him.
That's right.
That would signal me to stay aside from what he has to offer financially. Mm-hmm. And it's a joke, right? Mm-hmm. But we all know that all jokes are rooted in some truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think their truth was, looking at it from an outsider. I wasn't some Jackie come lately and met somebody with money and was like, ooh, come up. We ground it out from day one. I was always there and supporting him and loving him. And if he failed and wound up being a secretary or anything, followed another path, I would still be there.
Yeah, I think he'd been a proctologist.
A proctologist?
He does it on the side.
Did that take? It took a beat to get that.
I can't believe you're struggling with my wife.
What are you talking about? I'm just suggesting other career options that you could have taken.
I can't believe he's flirting with me with my wife here. This is like you're disrespectful.
Real life, real
Thank
love.
Thank you for
real
having life, me, guys.
Love. That's right. Pick it up today, and it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
No, you got to tell this guest I love you before you sign off.
Dear Casey, thank you for joining us. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you way more than Charlamagne.
Hey! iHeartRadio Sunday Night Podcast. Listen every week as we play a different podcast. One of the most shared and most listened to in the free iHeartRadio app. This is where you'll hear the podcast people will be talking about this week. Hear all the episodes of The Breakfast Club 30 and over 250,000 others by downloading the free iHeartRadio app.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new?
Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.